It's good to have all the visitors. If we have some visiting, and it's, I don't know if I can classify myself as a visitor in my family. We've definitely been able to be here with you over the years for quite a while now. I was thinking someone had asked this past week how long I'd been preaching, and I said had to look back and make sure, but the first time I was asked at Pleasant Grove, where we attend to preach, was September of 2000. So it's been several years now that I've been able to preach at Pleasant Grove and other local congregations in the area. And of course, I never was able to go off to preaching school. I spent my school years, several years, getting degrees and becoming an educator. But I've often thought, I try to set a good example, be a positive role model, and be a good Christian example for children and adults in the schools that I have worked. And I think that's maybe almost as good as going to preaching school. But after 30 years or 35 years in education, when that time comes, Lord willing, that I may be able to do other things, of course, when I retire. Just ask Emerson what he'd be doing when he retired, so we all kind of have that to look forward to. And I enjoy preaching. It not only is I'm standing before you trying to step on your toes or tell you what you're doing wrong, it's not that at all. It's not even coming from me. It's actually coming from God. Three things that I try to focus on in preparing sermons each time is to, number one, and most importantly, teach the truth and teach from God's Word. But as Brother Dub mentioned in his prayer, it is often good for me to have a sermon, that whether I'm preaching or I'm actually listening to one, is for it to be simple and where you can understand it. And I think the third and final thing that I try to put a little touch on for any sermon I prepare is it needs to come from the heart. And all my sermons, I feel like in preparing them, it helps me, as it hopefully will help you. And it truly is from my heart to you and my love for you and, of course, God's love for all of us. We mentioned this morning in Sunday school, love will continue on. It'll be there in heaven, and we'll be all one family as God's family when we look forward to that great reunion in heaven. But this morning, we're going to look at a couple of things that we're all going to have to do while we're here on this earth, waiting for that next life. I don't think anyone could say that they're perfect, because no one is perfect. Brother Kelly mentioned that he makes mistakes, and we all kind of agreed with that. As far as ourselves, we all make mistakes. We're not perfect. And this morning we're going to look at the topic of sin. And there is no way that any person living or has lived on this earth or will live on this earth will be able to say that, oh no, I don't sin. I have never sinned. I never will sin. We could never say that, because no matter what state we're in this morning, whether we are a Christian, whether as a Christian we've obeyed the gospel plan of salvation, we've been baptized for the remission of our sins, and we're a faithful Christian, we still have sin in our life. And this morning we're going to look at what we need to do if we have sin in our life. But if you're here this morning and you have never obeyed the gospel plan of salvation, you're not a Christian, there's sin in your life. And there are even some that we know that we refer to sometimes as an erring Christian. But I've often mentioned it's kind of an oxymoron. If a person has been baptized and they're now erring, or they've fallen away from God's commands, I don't know if they're really a Christian anymore. They're probably more of an erring person who needs to come back to the fold and be a Christian again in God's sight. But there may be some here this morning that you have sin in your life. There may be some that are willfully sinning, And that is a huge problem. That's a problem because it's going to keep us from entering heaven if we continue to sin, knowing that we're sinning and not asking God's forgiveness. So this morning, our title for our lesson is What to Do When We Have Sinned, knowing that we all sin. First, we're going to look at five verses of Scripture that will give us a very good picture of what sin is. And there's many other verses, but for time's sake, we're going to look at five very quickly this morning. The first one is from 1 John chapter 3 at verse 4. 1 John 3, verse 4. Here we see that sin is the transgression of the law. Verse 4 says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Now here we find out exactly what sin is. It's something that we can do or that we are doing that is against the law of God. God says that we should not sin, and we should try not to sin. And when we sin, we ask Him for forgiveness, and He will forgive us. So it is a transgression of the law. A couple of verses down from verse 4, in verse 8, we have a second example of what is sin. Sin is of the devil. It's not of God. The devil was the one that first tempted Eve, and then Adam fell to that same temptation in the Garden of Eden. Sin is of the devil. Verse 8 says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." And we should strive to not be like the devil, but we need to be more Christ-like in our walk on this life. Number 3 comes from Romans 14, verse 23. Sin is whatever is not of faith. We may have faith on this side. Faith is belief, believing that there is a God, believing that there is a heaven, believing that there is a better life after this life, believing those things that are good. But on the opposite side, we have sin. Sin is not good. Sin is from the devil. It's not from God. And we have to realize that we're going to have to choose whether we're going to have true faith in God and to live the life that He commands, or we're going to choose to live in sin and have the devil and hell as our home when our life is over. Verse 23 of Romans 14 says, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin." So sin is really kind of the opposite of faith. It comes from the devil, and it's nothing good, and we need to try to avoid sins in our life and ask God to forgive us. Also, James 4, 17, sin is omitting good and doing evil in its place. There's the choice. Are we going to do good, or are we going to do evil? And here in verse 17 of James 4, it says, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." As a Christian, we know right from wrong. We know what's good and we know what's evil. And when we choose to willfully sin, we are in a situation that we are not saved. And in that situation, we are an erring person. And we might need to ask God to forgive us of those sins that we have willfully sinned and sin no more, so that we will still be a saved person on our way to heaven when this life is over. And the fifth verse that I'll use this morning is a very good verse that we often hear. It's probably a more popular verse when we're talking about sin and its consequences and what if we choose not to sin. And that's Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." There in Romans 6:23 is our choice. We can either live a life of sin and go down that road in this life, enjoying the pleasures that we may gain from living a sinful life, but not realize that after this life is over, we'll pay the cost and the consequences of our sins without having God's forgiveness. And we will not receive that eternal life, which is a gift from God, that hope of an eternal life. So hopefully this morning we can realize the seriousness of sin, knowing that we all sin. And hopefully this morning realize what we need to do to keep sin from being that boundary that keeps us from entering heaven when our life is over. Probably before we begin into the meat of this lesson, there is a chapter in the Bible, or a psalm in the Bible, that I think is a real good example for what to do when we've sinned. And it comes from David, and it's Psalm 51. And when you have time, we won't have time this morning, but if you'll look at Psalm 51 and read that, I think it's a very good chapter in the Bible that we can read and understand a little bit more about sin and the consequences of sin and how we feel if our conscience is bothering us with the sins that's in our life. So I encourage everyone to read that, Psalm 51. There was a famous basketball player back about 15 years ago. I don't know how many of you follow NBA and follow basketball. I'm not a huge fan of basketball. I'm watching it on TV. But I know about 15 years ago, I watched the team that was kind of very, very popular, very good during the 80s and mid-80s, and or actually into the 90s, would have been 15 years ago. In the 90s, they were kind of at the top of their game. And one of the players on the Chicago Bulls basketball team was named Dennis Rodman. I don't know if some of you can remember that name. He was a basketball star, but I don't think I would ever classify him as a star of anything. But Dennis Rodman made the headlines when he kicked a cameraman during a basketball game. And this resulted in an 11-game suspension, and he had to pay the victim, the cameraman who was kicked, $200,000. And what's interesting about this is, of course, this was on national television, and the cameraman's camera might have still been working when he got kicked, and then there were other cameras. So it was something that Dennis Rodman couldn't hide. I mean, he did this, and so the big question that later that week and months to come was, who's going to interview Dennis Rodman? Who's going to find out why he did this, and what does he think about it? So sure enough, later, in an interview, Dennis Rodman insisted that what he did wasn't really all that bad. And so that was his image from then on, was the fact that he thought he could get away with something like this, and it really wasn't all that bad. And I think we are often just that same way about our own sins. We may have sin in our life, and we look at it like, it's not really all that bad what I'm doing, even though it's a sin or even though it's wrong. And sometimes we need to make sure we don't have that Dennis Rodman attitude about the sins in our life. Sometimes we try to justify it, the sins in our life. And sometimes we even try to pretend it's not there. Sometimes it may be things that we're doing and we just pretend like we're not doing it and we're okay. Or we may think other people don't know I'm doing this. It's a secret. I'll not get caught. So we have that kind of same kind of attitude. And we try to explain why it really isn't a sin in some cases. Even though it's clearly stated in the Bible that something we're doing is a sin, and we try to say that's not what God's saying. It's not a sin. And I think as long as we keep this defiant, like Dennis Rodman had, defiant attitude, we can never get completely right with God. And getting right with God requires a change of heart. It requires a change of attitude. And in some cases, it requires a change of your lifestyle and the things that you're doing in order to really have a change and have God's forgiveness. Dennis Rodman's one example. I've got two others that I thought of that we all probably are very familiar with as people in this world that we know. One is Jim Baker. Jim Baker was a televangelist a couple of years ago. He and his wife, Tammy Faye Baker, had a television show you could watch. And they were on TV. A lot of people were influenced by them. And a couple of years after this fame that they had, Jim Baker published a book, and it was called I Was Wrong. And he admits not only in this book to his moral failure, but he also acknowledges that he led many people astray by his teachings and his actions. And that's what that book was about. Another famous person on the same kind of lines as Jim Baker is one I'm sure you're familiar with, Jimmy Swaggart. Jimmy Swaggart, cousin of Mickey Gilley and cousin of Jerry Lee Lewis. All three very great piano players. But Jimmy Swaggart was also a televangelist. And he went on national television, if some of you remember. And he pleaded and begged with his listeners to forgive him for the sins he had committed. He said, "I have sinned," and he cried on national television. But I want you to think about one thing about Dennis Rodman, Jim Baker, and Jimmy Swaggart. And this is a question I think they really need to think about and maybe answer if they haven't answered it themselves. And we may be in the same situation as these three people. But here's what we need to consider. Are we sorry for the sin in our life? Or are we sorry that we got caught with the sin in our life? Because if you realize and remember back before Jim Baker come out with the book, and before Jimmy Swaggart publicly said, "I've sinned," on national television, they got caught before that. And that's why they did this and these things. So I think we have to realize, even in our own life, the sins in our life, are we truly sorry that we're sinning or that we've sinned? Or is it the fact that we've got caught? And I think it all comes down to the attitude that we have and what's in our heart. And there's one that will know our true feelings and what's in our heart, and that's God. And I think every time that we need to consider the sins in our life, and we need to pray to God, because it says pray without ceasing. We're supposed to pray to God. I mean, I know God knows our heart, and sometimes we wonder, why do we have to pray when God can know our heart anyway? But the Bible says that we need to pray. And we need to pray that God will forgive us of our sins. And then we need to change our lifestyle, change of heart, change of attitude, and go on from that day with a new clean slate and never sin anymore. That's the goal, not to sin that same sin over and over again. Amen. And I know Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart and Dennis Rodman and many others, they can change. But the change comes from when they read the Bible, the same Bible that we have. The Bible is one Bible, the Bible, and we live by it. Now, some continue to choose not to live by what the Bible says, even though they think that they are a Christian and they're living a life that will get them to heaven. But if you're here this morning and there's sin in your life, we need to ask God to forgive us, and He will. And this morning, we're also going to realize another very tough thing that comes with sin is the fact that it's sometimes hard for humans to forgive others, and it's really hard sometimes for humans to forget the sins that others have committed or committed against you. But I realize, as you this morning, that what we need to try to strive for is in the sins in our life, God wants us to pray, and God wants us to ask Him to forgive us. And if that's really what we are sincerely doing, God will forgive us, God will forget those sins, and we're thankful for that. But I think as humans here this morning, that if we have committed sins, or if we are striving for forgiveness from other humans, we need to ask them to forgive us of the sins we've committed. And sometimes that's very hard to do. But humans can forgive other humans. And humans can forget sins that humans have committed. But it's very difficult. But I think we need to strive to do that. But the main thing is, I think sometimes, you know, we've got to be willing to forgive when others have sinned against us, especially if they come to you and ask. And if they choose not to come to you and ask, the Christian thing to do is go ahead, and we know we need to forgive them in our heart and pray for them. And the main thing from all of this is to know that God's the one that we have to have the pardon from. God's the one that we have to ask in prayer to forgive us of our blunders in life and our mistakes and our sins. And He will, and He knows the heart of each and every one of us in the life that we live. But I think also, if you're here this morning and there's sin in your life, nowhere in the Bible does it really say that public forgiveness has to be given. At the song of invitation this morning, we'll sing and we'll beg and plead as God does for someone to come forward and obey the gospel for the first time and be a Christian, be baptized. But if you are a Christian and there's sin in your life that you feel like you need to come forward, that's what you need to do. But also, if it's sin in your life, number one is you need to ask God, even if it's privately and you do not come forward. You need to ask God in private in your prayer to forgive you. But it's often good to consider the sins that's in your life and how many people know, or maybe you've led astray, and it's good to come forward and let the church pray on your behalf. And they know, too, that you've got a clean slate, that there may be things that you've committed in your life that they know about or they don't know. But you come forward, and you, with a sincere heart, ask God to forgive you, and the church will pray for you. And that's what we encourage you to do this morning. But if you don't, if there's sin in your life, we hope that you will ask God, who will truly forgive you of anything that you've done that may be wrong and goes against what the Bible teaches. I think, too, that another thing we must consider is one of the saddest experiences in life is when we witness Christians sinning. I think out of love, we really should be very concerned about other people, especially if it's brothers and sisters in Christ. Because as we mentioned as we began this morning, it's not just the sinners that sin, but Christians can also sin. And there are many that we know of that have fallen away. And the Bible clearly teaches that it is possible for a Christian who has been baptized for the remission of their sins and maybe attended a worship service and a part of a congregation for many years maybe, that they can fall away. And there's many verses in the Bible that will back that up. But you know that there's often the feeling in some denominations and some people's minds that once saved, always saved. And we know that that's just simply not true. The Bible does not back up that belief. And as I think as we talk about sin this morning and forgiveness, it's also the same kind of situation that we really can't say that once forgiven, we're always forgiven, because that's not the case. Sin will be forgiven of God when we ask Him, but if we continue to sin, we're still in a state of sin and a state of not being saved. And that's why it's very important that as we ask God to forgive us, we need to do this every day of our life. I know in teaching younger class at Pleasant Grove, when I was teaching the teenage class, we talked about in one of our lessons the part about how important prayer is. Pray without ceasing. You know, what does that really mean? And really, it's just to have God on your mind all the time. I mean, I know we can't pray all the time. We have things to do, jobs to do, sleep, and everything that occurs, but it's just really putting God first and having Him on our mind all the time. And we talked about how important it is to pray and how often maybe we pray. And it's really important to stress that every night before you lay your head down and you go to sleep, that you pray that God will forgive you of the sins you've committed that day. Because we don't know when our life will end. We may go peacefully in our sleep And that night when we go to sleep, we may not see the next day. And it's very important then and at all times in the day to pray to God that our sins will be forgiven. But it's really a difficult task to try to prove sometimes to others that once forgiven, that it's not always going to be that way. We've got to stop the sins that we're sinning and the lifestyle that we may be in. And it's also hard to be able as humans to pray and ask God for forgiveness and realize that God hears our prayers, and if we're sincere, God will forgive us. And I know I'm guilty of this. A lot of times I'll ask God in prayer to forgive me of maybe a particular sin or sins in my life, and then the next day I get still worrying about that sin. And I'll pray again, God, forgive me of this sin. And I may pray several times. And it's hard that we don't have to realize we have to do that. You know, when once God hears our prayers and asks that He forgive us of our sins, we don't have to continually remind Him of the sins that we've committed and to remind Him to forgive us of those sins. But I think it's human because as humans, so many times in life, we ask other humans to do something for us and they may forget. And we have to remind them. And that's just part of being a human. And I think that's why sometimes we feel that's the way God is. But God doesn't forget. God hears our prayers. God knows when we're sincere and it's coming from the heart. And He will forgive and forget the sins that we've committed. And in order to be forgiven of our sins, we must have a change of heart that comes right after that prayer of forgiveness. We must have a change of mind, and we may have to have a change of direction in the life that we're living. And this morning, I'll give you a challenge that I'll give myself. Because as I stated as I began this morning, it's a hard task to prepare and get ready for a sermon and to deliver a message. But it's also a very good thing for me personally. It makes me a stronger Christian, a stronger person as I study the Bible more. And this morning, the challenge that I think we should all strive for, and I don't know that if we could ever do it. This is kind of a question I might could ask Emerson and see what his thoughts are on this. But I think there's no harm in having this challenge. And it's to live a sinless day. I don't know if we can do that. There's sin that we commit, we know. But there's nothing wrong with trying to live a sinless day. Because with that, we realize that we know what's important in life and we know what our goal may be. And as long as we're trying to do better, we're trying to be a better Christian for a better reason, there's nothing wrong in that. And I think as long as we strive to know that there's sin in our life, but I want to put it aside and I want to strive not to do that, we will be a better example for the people we come in contact with. When we go to work, when I go to school, when you go to your family reunions, wherever you may go, and that's in your mind, that's your goal, to live a sinless day, you're going to set a better example for other people. And they'll know that and they'll realize that. And you may lead others to Christ because of the good example and the goals you've set for your life that I could set for my life as well. Because if you think about the sins that we struggle with, sins occur in the mind. Sins occur in the thoughts that people have. Sin occurs from the tongue. The things that we say that come out of our mouth can be sinful. Sin occurs from the heart, in the feelings that we have toward other people or things. And sin can also occur by the use of our own physical body. There are many sins that people commit with their body that we know we have to strive to flee from those things and do better. And there's also sin that occurs maybe while we even sleep in our dreams. So sin is a hard thing to shake. And I don't know, that's why I said I don't know if we could live a sinless day. But as long as we strive to do better and realize that sin is a very, very serious matter, we'll strive to do the better each day of our life. I think that we'll be able to shake some of those bad habits that we may have that may be sin. And also for a sinner and a Christian who sins, it would be the same thing. We should live one day at a time and pray to God constantly that He will help us overcome sin and overcome the devil. And it will happen if we have that true faith in God to help us and not put too much on us, because He won't. It's too much on us that we can't overcome the sin and the devil. It's like the alcoholic. One day without a drink can mean another day without a drink, and so on and so on. And one day that we stay away from a sin that we've been sinning, that's another day we've sinned less that day of that sin. And on, it may just be able to be better to overcome those sins. And for the Christian, it's the same way. If we can live one sinless day, we should live another sinless day, and on. So we just need to really strive to be a better person, a better Christian, and know that God will forgive us and forget those sins that we've committed, and know that we are not a perfect person, that we're going to have God to get us through this life. But there is a better life to come. And I know the old saying is the best is yet to come. And that'll be the eternal life that we have a hope of. If we have faith in God, a hope for a better life. It's like Brother Emerson said this morning, faith and hope are two wonderful things. We've got to have them while we're here on this earth. But once we get to heaven, there's no need for faith and hope anymore. It's just love with God and God's family. And I hope that's what you strive for this morning. But if you're here and you need to obey the plan of salvation and become a Christian for the first time, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And remember that sixth and final step in God's plan of salvation is probably the hardest. And some of you may be here this morning or a Christian. You've obeyed those five steps, as I have. But that sixth one is live a faithful life until you live no longer or till Jesus comes again. If you're here this morning and you need to come forward and have the prayers of the church, or you just pray to God this afternoon that He'll forgive you of the sins in your life, He will. But we have this opportunity now to come as we stand and sing.